Elissa Walker Campbell delivers sports the way you want it. Big names, bold interviews, beyond the X's and O's. Think big. The Big E Sports Show.
Elissa Walker Campbell, I want to welcome you back this weekend on our show. And the NBA conversation, well, it continues. And of course, the NBA playoffs, they are just around the corner. That is so hard to believe. And we've got a number of questions that we want to get answered. So we are delighted to welcome back to our program a guy that's going to help us break it all down, Bill Ingram. He is the executive NBA editor of Hoops World. Bill, how are you this weekend?
Doing great. Actually, spent a little time going around the Texas Triangle, trying to touch base with everybody before the playoffs begin. So it's always a good time, exciting time in the NBA.
I know you're down in San Antonio. We're going to talk about the San Antonio Spurs here momentarily, but right here in our backyard is the Dallas Mavericks, and this is a team that is just playing so well as of late, and it seems like they have become more defensive-minded. They've really locked it down, especially in the fourth quarter. My question to you, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but is this the year that perhaps they really can compete and contend for an NBA title?
You know, we'd love to see that. It would be such a great story because Dirk Nowitzki, Jason Terry, they're a couple of the greatest guys, not just players, but guys in the league. Really, the Mavericks are a class organization. They consider character as much as they consider talent when they're drafting and trading and making roster moves. The issue that I see, and you're right, we've heard Tyson Chandler complaining about the lack of defensive focus, and then a couple days ago we actually heard Dirk say something, which truly it takes something for Dirk to speak out on an issue like that. He's normally the quiet leader, but they're right. You know, the Mavs, as much as they can score with anyone, when it comes time to make a defensive stop, ever since they were very good at it before Caron Butler got hurt, but since they've been trying to play with non-defensive players like Peja Stojakovic, you know, is a very good scorer but not a very good, has never been a defender. It's awfully tough to replace a top defender, and Caron was one early in the season. So, you know, you have to wonder. I love the Mavs. I love the group, the guys, coach from coach to owner to star players. It's a good group of guys, but they're going to have to prove it to me because too many years in a row now, I've been courtside for first rounds where the Mavs, as good as they were, they're a finesse team, a very good finesse team, obviously 11 straight seasons with 50-plus wins, but finesse teams don't often do very well in the playoffs.
Bill Ingram is with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. He is the executive NBA editor with Hoops World, and you have to really zero in and think about what is the one key, the one facet of the game in order for the Mavs to, you know, go deep into the playoffs. And I really think it's going to come down to post defense, interior D. You mentioned Tyson Chandler. He certainly energizes these guys defensively. But in the post area and the front court, they've got to have other guys that have got to be able to step up because that onus cannot solely be on him. He's got to have weak side help defense.
He really does. I mean, Tyson is a very good defender, but he also gets into foul trouble. If he's going to be the only guy playing defense, if it's going to be his sole responsibility, he's going to play 25 minutes because he's going to have four or five fouls, and that's a very big load to carry. The big issue for the Mavs, and, you know, I can't emphasize this enough, when they traded Devin Harris and Josh Howard suffered that, you know, he's had a series of injuries. He'll never be the player he was in 2006 when he was an all-star. But that was the defensive core that they broke up, and they've never done anything to replace that. Jason Kidd, great leader, you know, still a top-notch playmaker. He gets burned night after night on man-on defense. Still a very good passing lane defender, comes up with steals, but the guy he's supposed to be guarding burns the Mavs more often than not. And at shooting guard, you know, you're undersized with Jason Terry. If you bring in Roddy and, you know, Kidd to the two, now you have the quickness issue. They just don't have maybe Corey Brewer can be that guy, but Rick Carlisle's rotation is so hard to figure out. It's so tough to see when teams have a special group like that and then choose to break it up. And we've seen it time and time again. The Mavericks, the Phoenix Suns after last year's Western Conference Finals, the Magic blew up their NBA Finals team. You really have to wonder why teams that experience so much success immediately start messing with it and never are as good again.
Well, there certainly are some question marks that will have to be addressed as we go along here, but obviously the one group of guys that's really stepping up is the bench play. I mean, they're able to platoon in just waves and give these guys a break, and we saw that earlier with Peja Stojakovic and J.J. Barea.
Yeah, that's key. I mean, the Mavs are, Denver may be the deepest team in the league George Karl can bring a starting unit off the bench. But Rick Carlisle, really, aside from the power forward position, Dirk is the only, you know, if you don't have him on the floor, you're trying to mix and match things. But they do. I mean, you're too deep. Brendan Haywood is decent. It's nice they have Jan Mahimi who can come in and when they really need some energy at the center position. But everywhere else, you know, when you're talking about having Jason Terry, who's the top six man in the NBA again this year, Barea comes in and does his thing. We're always waiting to see more from Roddy Bobois. You know, the whole group, it's just a very, very deep team. And then we see that in the fact that the starting lineup is always changing because they have so much versatility. They can match up in so many different ways. The only teams I think they really ultimately can't match up with probably are the Lakers and the Spurs, the old nemesis.
Well, let's talk some about the Lakers because it really is, when you look at the West overall, the landscape of it, it is a survival of the fittest, and the Lakers have played extremely well since the All-Star break. And I just think of, you know, the front court for them, you know, Pau Gasol and Andrew Bynum. I mean, they're twin towers. They're 2 7-footers. They are overwhelming inside.
Well, they really are, and not just inside. I mean, you don't get any easy baskets against the Lakers. They control the glass, but, you know, when you have Kobe Bryant waiting to stick a dagger in your eye, when you have Ron Artest, they have a lot of length, and Lamar Odom, a lot of length on the perimeter as well. So you're not getting a lot of threes against the Lakers, and you're also not getting it inside. So the way you have to attack them is really utilize your mid-range game. The Mavs have some guys that can do that, but obviously they haven't had a lot of success. You know, I loved early when Karan was healthy, you know, and they were taking out the Spurs and they were taking out the Lakers, and then he gets hurt, and they've really struggled against the contenders. And the Lakers are the team to beat. You talk about the healthy team standing, the Spurs with all of their, you know, Duncan's injury, and now Popovich has been resting as he usually does down the stretch, his other starters. The Lakers are the hottest team in the NBA, and wow, you know, just as an observer of the NBA and no team loyalties, you know, it would really be interesting to see Derrick Rose and Kobe Bryant go head-to-head in the NBA Finals.
Well, to the advantage, of course, for the Lakers is that, you know, they've got two consecutive titles. That certainly gives them a lot of momentum and just that confidence, knowing you've been there and you've accomplished it, you've done it, you made it happen. But the playoff experience is obviously going to be very huge. The question I have to ask you, Bill Ingram, is this the final season for head coach Phil Jackson?
Yeah, you know, the thing with Phil, he's got a lot of health issues. He has a lot of trouble just walking. The travel is very hard for him. He made a snide remark the last game they were in Dallas about how far it was to walk from the bus to the visitor's locker room to this halfway around the arena. You know, that's really a telling sign. Last year he was having a lot of trouble with the hip, and he's got a lot of really nagging injuries from his days as a player. And he just, physically, he's not comfortable. He has a special chair. He sits in on the bench. He's just physically not able to do the job comfortably. So, yeah, I think we're going to see an opening there. We've been hearing Brian Shaw may be the heir apparent, although, I don't know. It's the Lakers. To me, you need a name. I'm awfully curious to see if Mike Brown jumps in and tries to do with the Lakers what he did with the Cavaliers, led them to the best record in the NBA.
He's had such a prolific career in the NBA, 11 championships. Now, I had mentioned at the Open, you're down in San Antonio, and who would have thought? I mean, you just think back, what, a month and a half ago, the Spurs were peaking, you know, a little bit early, but now they have been just decimated with injuries. They've gone through a very tough stretch. Talk to us about as far as their chances.
That's just it. I mean, the thing with San Antonio, the reason they've been so successful all season is everyone's been healthy for the first time. They've always been nursing injuries as a result of international play because Tony Parker plays for France, Manu Ginobili, you know, even Tim Duncan has been involved in some Team USA stuff, not recently, but, you know, their guys go off and do other things. And Manu and Tony in particular have been really banged up even to start the season the last couple of years. And this year they came in healthy. They did not play internationally, came in healthy, and they were just incredibly good. Then you have Richard Jefferson finally caught it. He spent the summer with Greg Popovich, really understanding his philosophy. And then a guy like Gary Neal comes in, seemingly off the street, although he's very experienced in international play, and makes the roster, and he's been huge for them. And, yeah, it's just been everything's gone just right for the Spurs until now. At the worst possible time, you lose Tim Duncan. Tony's got some nagging stuff. Manu's got some nagging stuff. So the smart thing is what Pop's doing. they would almost have to lose out the rest of their games to lose the top seed. So let those guys rest, because what really matters is winning playoff games. So the last seven, eight games, however many games are left in the season, really are not that important to the Spurs, even if it means they're the second seed instead of the first.
Well, I was going to say, you know, there's not a lot of separation when you start looking up and down those standings. So whether you're a Laker or you're a Mavs fan, that certainly is good news. Let's head over. We're quickly running out of time. Let's head over to the Eastern Conference. Just your thoughts on the Celtics. And I just kind of want to, you know, flip the calendar back and step back for a moment. I was absolutely stunned, and I think a lot of fans were, with the trade. Kendrick Perkins going to Oklahoma City. Jeff Green, Nenad Krstić had great players there and provided some quality minutes for Coach Scott Brooks. But to let go, you know, the Celtics to let go of Kendrick Perkins, I cannot imagine them doing that.
We were just talking about how these teams that are so successful start making major changes, and it's just unreal. I understand the reasoning, because Danny Ainge talked with us about this, and it is, they were very successful early in the season when Perkins was hurt. They were absolutely going to lose him to free agency, absolutely. He was Oklahoma City's number one target, and Sam Presti, the GM of the Thunder, had created a ton of cap space, no matter what happened.
Oh, yeah.
They were going to get Kendrick Perkins. So the Celtics saw it as, this is a chance for us to get something for him, rather than what we've seen so often, a team like, you know, Toronto or Cleveland, where there's an important part of their team leaves and they get nothing back. But still, to me, even if you're going to lose him for nothing, if you're a championship team, that is such a small window, especially with KG older, and, you know, Shaq and Jermaine O'Neal are going to be done, and who knows about Ray Allen. You know, these guys are older. If you get a championship this year, it's worth it to keep him, even if the cost is you lose him through free agency for nothing.
Yeah.
I don't understand that. I will tell you this, that move made the Thunder an even tougher team. Nobody wants to see Oklahoma City in the first round.
Well, let's not forget, 1 year ago, they took the L.A. Lakers to six games, and it was incredible, the fan base that they have there. So that was obviously a very savvy move by their general manager, Sam Presti, and a huge acquisition for the Thunder. Quickly, my final question for you, let's talk about the Chicago Bulls. Tom Thibodeau, he certainly has his team rocking, and they are one of the best defensive teams in the NBA. And I'm not sure if you have talked that much about this, but their assistant coach that they acquired in the offseason, assistant coach Ron Adams, I mean, he was the secret weapon for Scottie Brooks up in Oklahoma City defensive-wise, and he's taught the Bulls a lot of fundamentals this year.
Absolutely. And Tom, let's not forget, Tom Thibodeau has been the driving force behind a devastatingly good New York defensive team in Houston when Jeff Van Gundy, he was under Van Gundy both times. The Houston Rockets were the best defensive team in the league, and then when he moved on to Boston, look what Boston did. Boston became the best defensive team in the league, and they've been to the finals. They won their first championship there with the new trio of guys and went back to the finals again. Now it's no surprise. I mean, all of us who are insiders were saying Tom Thibodeau is the top head coaching candidate for any opening. Any team that doesn't hire him is crazy. So when Chicago took that chance, look what's happened. You know, that not only is he, I really feel Greg Popovich is coach of the year. Tom Thibodeau, though, I can't argue if he gets it. There's no argument. But Derrick Rose has just turned from a very good player to a legendary, you know, like just an incredible player this year under the, you know, Thibodeau does what Popovich does, really demands a lot, challenges his players in the areas where they're weak to make their weaknesses strengths. And Rose has thrived under that. He's become just an amazing player to watch. All that is a tribute to Thibodeau and his coaching staff. You know, those guys, defense, even though the league has moved very much in an offensive direction, defense still wins games.
Defense certainly does win games. And as we get ready to wrap it up, tell all of our listeners where they can go and find out more information about Hoops World.
Absolutely. Hoops World is, we've been around for, this is our 13th NBA season. We are a part of the third largest network covering the NBA. Our mantra is, the 30th team in the standings is just as important as the first team. So while we're going to talk about the Bulls and the Lakers and the Spurs and, you know, and the Mavs, of course, we're also going to talk about what's going on in Cleveland and Sacramento's arena issues and the young team they've got growing there. And we realize there are NBA fans in every NBA city, and they want to know, they deserve to know about their teams. And so we're going to bring you the best coverage available for every team and not just the top three or four teams in the league.
Of course, you can go to hoopsworld.com for more information. Bill, thank you so much for stopping by. We look forward to having you back during the playoffs.
My pleasure. Anytime.
You bet. We're going to step aside. Much more straight ahead. It'll be our Under the Helmet segment. We're going to talk some college football with Jason Peter. We'll be right back.